waters of satisfaction. What I witness more and more in this day and time, and what is promoted by the world more and more with great success, is the ability to make us feel unsatisfied about our lives. To make us feel like our life somehow is not as good as other people's. And it's not until we read the paper or see this and we think, oh, at least that didn't happen to me, or at least I didn't have this. But normally we go through our life and we're thinking, man, is anything good about my life? Is anything working out? Is anything satisfying? And I was saying a while ago that, yeah, I'm at a season in my life where, okay, I am spread thin. I'm doing this, doing that, going. I've got eight places I could be right now. But the fact is there's a difference between just being with your life full and being dissatisfied with your life. Waking up in a mentality that you rub off on others, I'm just not happy with myself. I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with where I'm at. I don't like my life. I wish it would change. I wish somebody would fix it. And that's where we begin to do things or reach out. It's where people begin to steal, thinking if I can get that extra $100 from somebody, then you know what? My life will be better. And so maybe we end up dating people or end up with people or end up hanging out with friends that we know we really don't need as friends. But we do it because we feel so dissatisfied about our life. We're willing to minimize. We're willing to make things that we know are mistakes and do them anyway based on simply the fact that I just don't want to live where I'm living. I'm dissatisfied with my life. And the hardest part in life is to learn to be content or settled or happy with where you are. I work on this every day. I have to learn to be happy right where you are. Because one thing's for sure, if you live long enough, seasons are going to change. Where you are right now, if you just hang in there, it won't stay this way forever. Kids will grow up, jobs will change, this will happen, people will go on, friends will come and go. Things are going to change in your life. Don't do something in the moment that will cause catastrophe in your life. Now, Jesus is dealing in the seventh chapter, it's the last great day of the feast. And Jesus is sitting around with people all around him, and he just jumps up and begins to scream out something that he wanted everyone there to realize, that he wanted them to be able to come up with and put in their hearts. Notice with me as we read from this seventh chapter, and let's go to verse 37, and that'll be the best place to start. Skip back one. Let's go to 37. It just kind of gives us our introduction to it. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now what he's talking about is this dissatisfaction. He's talking about you're not content with your life, that you're not settled, you're not happy. You're not at a place where you think, you know what, my life is enough. So what you are doing is that you're constantly trying to drink things. In the Old Testament, God would have said to them this way: you put money in your pocket, but you got holes in your pocket and it runs out. You put on clothes to try to get warm, but you can't get enough. You're still cold and shivering. You try all these different things to be happy, but you can't find happiness. Jesus puts it in this way: if you are somebody walking around and you always feel thirsty, you always feel like, man, I mean, I'm just always one Dr. Pepper away from feeling right. You know, I'm just never quite happy enough. I'm never quite content enough. I need something else to get me by. I need something else to finally make me happy. Now, if you're in that mentality, this is what he says. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38 now. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 tells us what he was really talking about. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus comes and says, let me explain this to you. There is a season coming and a time coming that there is a place where you can reach in your life to where it is not just simply drinking, but it is changing the mentality of how you're going to live. See, our whole mindset of being happy is what I need in my life. That's how we're built. What I need in my life will make me happy. What I need in my life will fix it. If I could get something extra, if I had the car, or I had the kid, or I had the husband, or I had the wife, or I had the job, or if I had this, then I would be happy. Our whole mind and culture in the human race is built on what I need next to make me happy. And so then it becomes very frustrating as you start to get older because we've achieved some of those things. Some of us thought, if I ever get out of my house, ever get out of my mom and dad's house, then I'll be happy. Were you happy? No. Then you said, if I can get a job, man, if I could just have money in my pocket. Well, then you got a job, but then you had to put gas and pay rent and do all these other things. Then you didn't have enough money. And so then you start in other areas and you start having this and that. And yet some of us in this room this morning have made it through all these holes and come through all of these hurdles. But even today we still sit here and we still are no happier and no more content than we were when we were sitting in that house years ago saying, if I could just get out of here, my life would be better. Jesus was saying that the problem is in the culture itself. The problem is in the way that it works. Notice the scripture in verse 38. I want to draw some attention to some things before I jump into a different area. It's not that I am going to release. Listen to what it says. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall do what? Flow living waters. Now, what we think is that if I get Jesus, or I get saved, or I get that, then I release good, and I release happiness, and I release all of these things. That's not the system by which we work. The text literally means it will escape out of you. It will escape. It will creep out the crevices of you. It will pour out of you. Every time you open your mouth, it will gush out. Every time you start to do something, it will gush out through every area of your life. What will happen is not that you will realize or that you will react or that you will do something. It is the mentality that what's inside of you, you will not be able to hold back from being able to run out of your life. Now that's totally different. What we do is we sit and we say, man, I need to do right. I need to do better. I need to pray more. I need to change what I'm doing. And when we go at it from that mentality, we're always frustrated. I meet people all the time who are just frustrated with their Christian life. Can't even understand sometimes why they're at church. They come, they believe in God, they got it, but they're so frustrated with it. It's because their whole way of living for God is in a mindset of what I need to do next. What I need to change. And the enemy just keeps throwing it up in your face. The Bible says his job is to be the accuser of the saints. So whatever it is you're not doing right, don't you think that that's exactly where he's going to take your mind? When you say, man, I've done some good things today. Yeah, but look at you. You still got this going. I mean, look at all the stuff you got to change. So you never feel like I am doing good. You always feel like I need to do good. Or I need to do better. Or I need to live better. Or I need to try harder, or I need, and that becomes a very frustrating life. Jesus cries out and says, listen, that's not the system I'm bringing into this world. I am not bringing a system by which you are simply just trying to do good for me. It is not you simply having water and then trying to pour it out, or trying to do good for people. This is the system by which I have brought you. It is a system that says it will gush out of every part of your life. When you're dealing with your kids and you just get frustrated, but all of a sudden out of you, when you open your mouth, when you say one harsh word, something will catch you and you'll have to turn around and say, I didn't mean that. Let's do this differently. How did that happen? It's not because I'm trying to. It's because when I open my mouth or when I try to do anything with my life, what's inside of me begins to migrate and begins to come out. I can't help it. If I meet somebody and I may say to myself, God, I don't have any money. I'm telling you, I've got $5 left in my name. And I, you know, it's just tough right now. And you'll meet somebody that just needs a Coke. And you'll look at them and they're at a Coke machine and they're 3/4 short. And you'll say, Here, I got 3/4. Now you just said to yourself, I don't have any money. So why are you giving somebody 3/4? And here's the crazy thing. When you walk away, what do you say to yourself? Why in the world did I give away those 3/4? I need them worse than they do. So why did you do it? It's because the moment anything interacts in your life and you are filled with God and God is the center of your life, then what happens is it begins to gush out of you. That's why Elise can't give me checkbooks all the time and she can't give me a lot of free cash because I meet too many people that need a Coke and I meet too many people that need a meal and I'm just built that way. I'll give everything I got away. But that's the way God wants me to be. That's the system by which God wants me to live. Why? Because, Tim, I want it gushing. I want it through your attitude. Even when you're tired and you say, I don't want to see nobody else. And then somebody walks through the door. Can you smile? Not in yourself, but simply because the moment they walk in, it begins to gush out of you. It begins to pour out of you. Just naturally. Let me see if you can see it with me this way. It's not man's development that God's interested in. See, God's not interested that you're becoming a better person. That's the way we try to live it. Well, you know, I'm a lot better than I used to be. I'm doing a lot better than I used to do. Hey, I'm nowhere near as bad as I used to be. See, we see it because we see it as me doing the pouring out. We also see it as God, His whole job is to develop my life, to make me a better person. In fact, some of you came this morning with that mindset. I hope there's a good sermon. I hope some things happen. I hope the singing's good. Why? Because I want to be a better person. I want God to do something in my life. I want God to change something in my life. I want God... Can you just get this? God already did it. Well, I don't feel it. I don't sense it. Here's why. It's because God is not interested in your development. God is only interested in making you like Himself. Now, how is God going to take me and make Him like Himself? How is God going to take this messed up, mentally flawed shell of a person, got all my insecurities, all my doubts. How in the world is He going to make me like Himself? Well, it may take 20 years, Brother Lott, him just working on you. And it might take your whole life for Him to work on you and get you there. You ever hear that? You ever think like that? We even used to write songs about it. He's still working on me. That's so unbiblical. To make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I love how impatient He must be, 'cause He's still working on me. Man, that'll cheer you up. If you're a little kid, I'm messed up and He's working on me. How long is it going to take? Years. It's going to take years. It took Him just a week to make the stars and stuff, but me, I'm a messed up, total situation. I know you don't like this, but this is the way we see our maturity in Christ. God is developing me. God is making me. God is working on me. I'm better than I used to be. God never sees it from that way. God says, I don't even take you into consideration when I am doing the work. Here's the way I do the work. I take you, which is just a vessel, a pot. I don't care if you're a clean pot, dirty pot, crack pot. I don't care what kind of pot you are. I don't care if you're a dope-smoking pot. I don't care if you're a beer-drinking pot. I don't care what it is. Here's what my goal is. I want to put my spirit inside of your pot. Because it's not you trying to do better. It's me trying to get out of you. How my system works is that I work through you. Not you working with me. preacher used to tell me years ago, he said, Tim, here's the system by which we work. He said, when we first start out, we think we came to Christ. He said, the second thing we do is we think Christ accepted us. When we get a little older, we start to realize, oh, it wasn't me coming to Christ, it was Christ saving me. And then we get a little older, we start thinking, me and God are working together. He said, but when you finally get to maturity, you realize God's not even using you in the equation. God started from the beginning, chose you to be saved. God loved you before you was lovable. Loved you even before you loved Him. And God doesn't even care whether you like it, don't like it, whether you're good at it, not good at it. He just needs the vessel. And He said, you're not working with me. I am working through you. Every time you open your mouth, it's me coming out. Every time you start to do something good, you didn't give those 3/4 to get that Coke. You wouldn't have done it. You were just grumbling about it before you opened your mouth. Right before that moment, you were already telling how you didn't have no money. But yet all of a sudden, why did you do it? I don't know why I did it. I'll tell you why, because it wasn't you. It was the God that lives inside of you that rose up and said, we're giving those 1/4. And made you reach your hand in your pocket. Made you give it away. Made you smile. Made you walk away. And then when you came to yourself again, why did I do that? And some of us live our lives fighting with God about these things and fighting with God about this. Why did I do that? Why do I keep going to church? You know, you get up in the morning, why did I even go to church? And then you get to church, you enjoy church, and you leave church, and they don't take about 5 minutes down the road, and a gas light comes on. I don't know why I went to church. Couldn't afford to go to church to begin with. Why? Because most of us spend our lives fighting against God wanting to work through us. The easiest life is when we just simply accept He's God. I am just a vessel. And that whatever good He can do through me, whatever good He can bring through me, whatever good He can act through me. My uncle used to teach it to me this way. He said, Tim, when you get up there, here's what I want you to do. And I was an evangelist then and loved to preach, loved to write sermons, loved to do all those things. I was going to be a preaching machine. And loved it. Well, my uncle knew this, so he had a quick solution for it. He'd just lean over to me during church on Sunday morning sometime, and he'd just look over and say, you're preaching in 5 minutes. And I'd like, huh? Yeah, you got it this morning. I decided I don't feel good. You got it. You better study real quick. Son, I got to know some scriptures. Something. Whatever I'd been reading that week, whatever I'd been studying, I was praying, God, please bring it back to my remembrance. What was that we were talking about? It was a good something. I remember it was good. But you know what he was teaching me was the fact that, Tim, it's never you preaching. When you get up there and open your mouth, that's the same thing he told the disciples. He said, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't think about what you're going to do. Don't take extra money in your purse. When you stand before those people, just do what? Open your mouth. Now that sounds so simple, don't it? If you're in a situation at Walmart, you don't know how to witness that person, here's all you got to do. Just look at them and go. If you just look at them and go, God's going to feel it. But a lot He won't. Yes, He will. Because if He lives inside of you, it's going to come gushing out of you. Yeah. He used to do this to me too. He'd tell me on the nights that I was going to preach, I had whole sermons ready to go. Just fired up. Right before, he'd say, let me see your notes. I'd hand him my notes. He'd say, ooh, man, that's a lot of stuff. He'd fold them, put them in his Bible. And he'd say, here's what I want you to do. So I just want you to get up there and I want you to ask the congregation, say, somebody tell me your favorite scripture. And when they told you their favorite scripture, that's what you were going to preach on. He said, will you just tell everybody to bow their heads and pray? And I have a feeling, Tim, you're going to pray real good. And then you open it to that scripture and you preach it. Whatever comes out, wherever it takes you. And that's how I learned to preach. That's how I learned to get used to it's not me. That's why I don't have to do a whole lot of what you call studying to preach. My wife gets on to me all the time. She said, Tim, don't spend no whole bunch of time studying. And don't get me wrong, I read all the time. But what she's saying is don't sit at that desk and don't within yourself think of all the points that you want to bring out. Don't think about everything that you want to say. He said, she'll tell you, just preach on overflow. She said, just get up there and just overflow it. And usually those are the best messages I ever preach. Because it's just the time that God is saying, Tim, I got this. What's in you that you've studied, I know it all. And I'll bring it to your remembrance as you need to. I don't write these stories. I don't come up with a lot of this stuff. It's just as I'm standing here, God says, tell them this one. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. And God wants us all to learn to flow that way. The maturest life you'll ever live is when you realize it's not you at all. It's God that is doing it through you. What got you up this morning and got you to church was not you. It was God rising up inside of you and saying, let's go. Let's get up. That's why some of you, isn't Sunday the hardest day to get up? Physically, I mean, that's the day. You don't sleep on Saturday all the way. On Saturday, you're just like, man, I got stuff I need to do. But Sunday morning can roll around that alarm clock and go off. Oh. Yeah, school days too, she said. It goes right there together. Because the enemy is going to fight you at the hardest moments that God is trying to move you. At the moments the enemy knows, look, God is fixing to come in because he's going to want them to get up. The enemy at that moment is going to do everything he can to try to make you feel sluggish and tired and that shoulder's hurting and everything's going on. He's going to do that because he realizes that in the flesh is the only way he can stop what's going on inside your spirit. Man, this is good stuff. All right, let's jump on. With God, it's not what we gain. Not only is it not my development, but it's God working through me to make Him like Himself. But it's simply not what we gain. In our custom, in our world today, whether it's from televangelists to normal preaching to books that are out, it's all about what I can gain. It's what I can get. It's what I can receive. Well, that works good in the world system because how do we think? We're thinking about what do I need next? What can enter into my life next that's going to make me happy? And God is saying it's not what's going to enter into your life that's going to make you happy. It's what's going to pour out of your life that's going to make you happy. But what He pours through us is what God says makes us different than everybody else. It's not whether we become rich out of serving God or whether we end up with 3 cars and 5 houses or whatever it may be. That doesn't mean we're blessed by God. What means we're blessed by God is the fact that when we open our mouths, when we live our lives, when we go about our daily lives, our lives pour out the grace of God. They pour out the power of God. They pour out the ability that the world does not have. That's what upsets the world. That's what bothers the world so bad. I mean, the world works hard to be happy. And then they see some little old poor couple. Can you imagine how a rich man feels when he walks into the Walmart with all the money he needs, could buy anything in that Walmart? But yet he ain't walking with nobody because he's 3 divorces to the wind. He's unhappy, even though he just got a refund check that he cheated the government to get. He's not happy, and he walks into Walmart, and what does he see? He sees this old beat-up car come smoking down there. 2 people get out. Some couple with 3 dirty-looking kids. And they just smiling and laughing and joking, holding hands. And they're walking in, and he... Which one is bitter? He is. Why? Because he lives in a system that says, I need one more thing. And to meet someone when they bump into people who live by a system that says, it's just God living through me. If a problem arises, God will take care of it. If a situation comes up, God will see me through. If there's a dilemma, God will make a way. That's frustrating to a world. It doesn't matter if you're Tim Tebow. It doesn't matter who you are in Hollywood. A Kirk Cameron that just the other day just got into all kind of hot water because he was on one of the shows and told him that, you know, he just don't believe in gay marriage. Sorry. He said it's destructive to society. Oh, I can't believe it. And here's what the reporter says, and I'm going to come back later. I'm going to preach on that sermon and use that interview. But here was one of the things that stuck out to me, is that he asked Kirk, he said, well, what if one of your sons came to you and said, I'm gay? What would you say? He said, well, son, I don't like what choice you've made. I think you've made a very serious error. And I hope that we can sit down and talk about this and find out exactly where this decision was made. And that's just a loving father. He's not jumping on him. He's not condemning him. He's just saying, look, I don't think that's a very good choice. I don't think you made it. Let's talk about this. The interviewer, Pierce Brosnan, he asked him, he said, well, what would you say? And here's what the interviewer said. He said, I tell my son, great. And here was why. It wasn't because of any belief. It wasn't because of any standard. He looked at Kirk Cameron, he said, and I tell him, whatever makes you happy, son. Now you think about in your life, if you'd got everything that made you happy when you were 5, when you were 10, last weekend. So you can't live that kind of life. There has to be parts in you where something greater, and the world hates that because they live their life thinking there's got to be one more thing. There's got to be one more partner. There's got to be one more thing I can have or one more thing I can sleep with or one more thing I can buy that's going to finally make me happy. And when they see people that because God flows through them, they are happy, that's frustrating to them because you can't buy it. You can't work hard enough to get it. You can't get a degree and a college professor at the end dresses you up and walks you across the stage and says, today you're happy. They can't do it. The world doesn't have a system by which to do it. That's why Jesus stood and cried. That's why He said it. And let me show you a couple stories that will illustrate this real good. If I'm only going to preach to one sermon, I'm going to preach it twice as long. That's fair. No, you got 30 minutes. You're good. You're good. Go with me in your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 7. I want to show you how this works in real life. How this works in real life. Matthew 26 and verse 7. There's a story here of a little lady. You've probably heard it. It's called the Alabaster Box. Mary, who has come and has brought this alabaster box of ointment that was worth probably a year's salary. I mean, it's a very precious. They would seal it up. It was only to be broken at a special event. And notice what it says. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it out on his head and his feet. Verse 8. But when the disciples saw it, they had what? Indignation. They were mad about this, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now I want you to see inside this room are things going on. There is somebody who has reached a point in their life to where it is God doing what? Flowing through them. It is God living through them. Somewhere this lady was sitting at the house. And God, the Holy Spirit, came into the room and touched her and said to her, Jesus is dying. The man that touched your life, the man that has freed you, the man that has done all this good for you, he is dying. And he needs to be anointed. He needs to be anointed for his burial. And I don't know if she sat and walked around the room for a while and said, Lord, there's got to be somebody that can do this. But I think more than likely when the Spirit spoke to her, out of her poured. I think she reached up on that mantle, she grabbed that alabaster box, and without hesitation, she never counted the cost, she never counted how much it would cost her, she never counted all of those things. We do that. And when we preach sermons, we like to do that. We like to make her think like we think. Here she is. She's given everything she's got. I don't believe that. I don't believe she thought about that. I believe God spoke to her heart. Holy Spirit touched her life. I believe that from inside of her, when God said, get up, get that alabaster box, it was just like God telling us, get up, it's time to go to church. Get up, it's time to do. Look, give them 75 cents, let's get them a Coke. It was just at that exact moment that God spoke to her and she grabs that box and she's on her way. She gets to where Jesus is and she breaks the box. The oil flows upon His head down. She wipes His feet. She's totally anointing Him. The others in the room do not hear the voice. The others in the room do not sense the Spirit. The others in the room do not see it. And here this woman is that is able to do something that impresses Christ. She is able to do something that causes Jesus to take notice and stop. In fact, here's what He says about her. Notice with me, verse 9. Let's read this. Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the... Now think about it. How were they thinking? Like we think. We could have sold it, and we could have, and who would have been patted on the back? And we would have thought we're better people for doing something. That's how we think. Verse 10. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. Verse 11, for you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my... See, God had spoke to her and showed her something that somebody else couldn't see, somebody else couldn't grasp. Somebody will look at you and you'll buy lunch for somebody and they'll think, why did you do that? I catch myself all the time. Let me tell you, one of the hardest times it is in my life is when I see somebody standing on the side of the road with a sign. And sometimes it'll say, I'm a veteran, need food, this or that. And I'm thinking, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if these folks probably got more money than I got. Probably getting Western Union checks every single month. I know you don't think like that. I do. And it's hard for me sometimes when God will say, Tim, do them good. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got to dig through my change right here. I don't even have no money. You want me to do them good? Do them good. It's hard sometimes for us to simply let go of ourselves and allow God to spill us out like He wants to spill us out. Because there's always going to be people around that's going to say, why did you do that? You didn't have to do that. You shouldn't have done that. Don't that always feel good after you've done something that really kind of you wondered about anyway? You wondered about doing it anyway, and then all of a sudden somebody just comes along and says, why did you do that? Man, that was the craziest thing you could have done. Okay, God. Everybody says it's the craziest thing I could have done. Welcome to this woman's world. She's already being criticized because she did it. She's criticized for what it could have been used for. She's criticized on every corner. She hasn't said anything. She's just done what God told her to do. And while she's crying and wiping His feet, anointing Him, they're criticizing everything about her life and everything about it. Listen to me. You're going to have to let God flow through you, because if you try to live your life trying to do good, there'll be too many people that come along that'll talk you out of it. There'll be too many people that come along that'll talk you into something else or minimizing what God wants you to do. If God says give it all, you give it all. If God says do it, you do it. If God says love them, you love them. If God says forgive them, you forgive them. If God says buy them lunch, you buy them lunch. Whatever God says, you do. Because it's not you trying to do better or be a better person. It's God trying to live through your life. Let me sum it up this way. When I look at this lady, this pleases God when you abandon everything of yourself for Him. That's what scares us. This morning, what scares us the most, what scares me the most. You know what scares me the most about being a father and being a husband and being a pastor and being... You know what frustrates me and scares me the most? Is that in the back of my mind, I always feel like, am I doing all of this for nothing? Am I going to give all this effort and then it just fall to pieces anyway? Am I going to drive them kids to school, iron their clothes and do all this and they grow up and break my heart anyway? Am I going to love people and pastor a church and they're going to walk out on me anyway? Our flesh, it is awfully hard to make a decision that I don't vote. I simply open my mouth. I simply live my life as God is living through me. And when He wants to spill me out, let Him spill me out. And when He wants to use me, let Him use me. He will never use me like the world uses me to destroy me. But He said He will always, whatever purpose He uses me for, will always be for my good. It will always be for my advantage. It's not that God don't want to bless you. It's that He wants to be blessed through you. You will always receive a blessing. Somebody will always come along and say, man, that was great, you giving them that 75 cents. That was great, you buying a meal. But there will always be people in the room that will always say, why did you do that? Go with me to 2 Samuel. I'll show it to you one more time. 2 Samuel 23 and 16. 2 Samuel 23 and 16. I want to ask you this question, probably the most important question I'll ask this morning. What waters do you long for? That's a powerful question. What waters do you long for? What waters are in your life that you long for and say, boy, if I just had somebody to love me, or if I just had a job, if I just had this, or if I had somebody just give me a hug, I'd feel so much better. What is it you long for in your life that continually keeps on pushing at you and becoming the place where you want to be filled? What waters? I have to ask myself that on occasion. Tim, what waters is it that's important to you? You know, it's embarrassing sometimes. Because there's sometimes in my life I'm moving forward simply because I want somebody to think I'm a good pastor. That's embarrassing to have to say. But there are times I'm doing things just out of the mindset of, you know, I want somebody to come along and say, he was a good pastor. It's all selfish. There are times when I'm doing it for the right reason. There's times, but I have to continually ask myself, Tim, what waters are you longing for? What is it you're longing to hear? What words are you longing to hear? What is it you're wanting to that you think is going to make you happy? This is important because in this story, we have somebody who longs for waters. His name is David. And David has been away from civilization. He's been hiding in caves and doing different things and fighting. And he looks over at his men and he says, you guys, you know what I long for? Now, he could have said anything at this moment. He didn't say, I long for God. He didn't say, I long to be close to, you know. He said, I long for the waters of Bethel. I long, boy, if I could just go down there, if I could just take my bucket one more time and dip it in that water. That is the best. Anybody, certain water tastes better than others, doesn't it? I mean, I can. There's certain water I just love to drink. I go in the grocery store and there's specific water that I like. Don't ask me why I like that specific water. It's the one I like. The others, it don't have the same taste. It's all water, but it don't taste the same. And David is saying, you know what I long for? Oh, if I could just taste that water one more time. Well, three guys that are standing there who are his friends, who are his best companions, his captains, they say, look, if this is what he wants, let's get this for him. Let the Philistines have that city right now. They got a garrison right there. You can't get in that city. And they're saying, look, David wants to satisfy himself. David wants this. David's been a good man. He's been a good leader. Let's get it for him. And they rush in. Those three men get shoulder to shoulder, fight their way into that city, dip the bucket, fill up a jug of water, and fight their way all the way out of the city to get to David to bring him a water. Now you're talking about going a long way out for a glass of water. But that's what they did. But notice now, these waters you're longing for, they're only for one reason. They're only to satisfy yourself. It's the first thing you need to realize. These types of waters are only there to satisfy yourself. Number two, blessings will always corrupt you. I don't care who you are. That's why the Christian community in America is so messed up. That's why we struggle so badly. That's why we have preachers having affairs with this and that and going on. Let me tell you why. Because blessings always corrupt you. Well, then we don't need no blessings. No, no, you need blessings. But here's what you need to understand about blessings. You must always immediately sacrifice the blessing. Whatever blessing God puts in your life, you must immediately sacrifice it. If you do not sacrifice it immediately, it will become a lust and a desire, and it will become a noose around your neck. Doesn't matter if you're a rich young ruler that Jesus talks to. It doesn't matter who you are throughout the Bible. In simply, if you do not sacrifice the blessing. Let's say you were born pretty. That sounds odd, but I'm going to tell you something. I know girls that know they're pretty from the time they're 5, 6, 7 years old, and they play it their entire life. It's their blessing, and they use it for their gain. I had a young girl that I dated in high school, went out with, just like I always, you know, just go out with. And one of the prettiest young ladies you'd ever want to meet. She won beauty pageants, did all these different things. Her family raised her to know she was pretty, raised her to know she was special. Couldn't make you sick being around her. Because it was all about her. She was almost 30-something years old before she got married. Finally, she hooked up with a doctor somewhere. And it wasn't just because of love. Finally, he found arm candy. She finally found her money bags, and they were all happy. It's sad, but it's true. The problem is that we all in this room, we find the things in our life, and if we don't take the blessings that's been given to us, whether it's the car you have, if that car becomes more important than God, then what will happen is you'll say, you know, we don't need to put too many miles on that car, and we don't need to be going to church all the time in it. We're just not going to be able to do certain things. But that's a blessing. Yeah, but it's my blessing. What happens to blessings in our life, if you don't immediately sacrifice them, they will instantaneously become your downfall. No matter what it is that God has given you. For some of us, it can be relationships. We're sitting in church, praying to God, that God will give us a good mate, a good somebody, a good person. We finally meet the person, and now we don't come to church together. We're always gone on the weekends. If I don't sacrifice whatever it is that God has blessed me with, and there's not a one of you in this room that God hasn't put blessings in your life. I don't care if it's financial. If you don't sacrifice in financial blessings, then they'll become the noose of your life. You'll worry over your finances. You'll stress over your finances. You'll think everybody's out to get your finances. It'll become the noose. David realized that, look, this water is given to me. Everybody's standing around. They're waiting for David to drink this water. What they want to see is David to drink it and go, oh, man, that's what I was longing for right there. But if you don't sacrifice your blessings immediately, they will corrupt you. Number three, you must have the attitude of this and anything from God. This is too great for me. It's not meant for me. Look at the person beside you and say, God has put things in my life that are too great for me. They're not meant for me. That's hard to say. Do you understand that my personality, God's given me a personality, gave me the ability to speak, given me the ability to do. Do you know that's, I have to sacrifice that. That's not mine to play with. God has given me a photographic memory. That's not mine to play with. God has given me so many blessings and so many gifts. They have to be sacrificed immediately because I have to realize they're too great for me. They're not meant for one person. They're not meant to touch one life. They're not meant for me to gobble up myself and it's my talent, my ability. I don't want to be an American idol. I don't want to be the person that everybody else idolizes or thinks, I wish I had what they have. I want to immediately sacrifice it. I want to immediately get rid of it. I want to immediately give it up. Because if I don't, that thing will eventually take me. Because when I pour it out, it raises the blessings. Don't you think the God that gave you what He's given you already can double it? Anybody ever read the story of Job? Job's latter end was twice as much. That's what it's meant to be. But what was Job willing to do with the first $1 million? He's willing to look at his wife and say, "You speak like a foolish woman." He was willing to look at the children that he had lost and not hate God and say, "God, you give and you take away. Blessed be your name." Job had the ability to allow God to pour out in him everything he wanted to pour out. Now, don't get me wrong, when God starts to meddle with us, and He's going to find those little points that He wants to correct and those points He wants to say, "So you're not like me here. That's why I'm trying to put you through this." And Job learned his lesson. But do you understand that when we are faithful to God, when we're willing to pour out what God has given to us, He always doubles our blessing. Always. That's where your blessing comes from. It doesn't come from me getting a car. It comes from me getting a car and then deciding that I can give it back to God to do God's work. When that happens, don't be surprised if somebody comes along and says, "Look, I got a car. Can you find somebody to give this to?" Over my ministry, I've had over 3 or 4 cars that have been given to me that just literally somebody says, "Look, you know somebody needs a car. Just give it to them." It works that way. In your life, David took that bottle that day. And those men were standing there and saying, "Drink it, David. We fought hard." David takes it and does not take a sip of it. He pours it out on the ground. And this is what he says. He says, "It come at too high a price." Basically, this costs too much for me to take it myself. The Bible says David had a heart after God. Things in our lives this morning, the things that God's given us, are they waters of satisfaction in your life? Are they waters that bring you this morning, and can you say, "I'm satisfied with where God has brought me. I'm satisfied with what God has done in my life. I'm satisfied with where I am right now." Now, does this mean this is the only place I ever want to be? No. God's given me dreams and ideas and visions, and I'm going to keep pushing forward. But you know, right now, I'm satisfied right where I am. Because the God that holds it and the God that is working inside of me and flowing through me, that is the greatest gift that has ever been given. That's why Jesus stood up that day and He cried out with a loud voice, "If anybody in this room thirsts..." If He stood up today, He'd say the same thing. If anybody in this room is thirsty, unsatisfied, if anybody in this room this morning doesn't feel like my life is complete or I don't have enough yet, let him come into me. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to put the Holy Spirit inside of him. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit inside of her. And I know we've taken the Holy Spirit and made it everything from a exercise session to a hoop and a holler. But can I tell you what the Holy Spirit does? He comes inside of us, and what we cannot do ourselves, what we cannot be ourselves, from that moment on, all I have to learn to do is open my mouth. All I have to learn to do is listen to the voice. All I have to learn to do is crucify my flesh daily and let the Spirit of God live through me. And when I do that, just watch my life move forward. Living a good life and moving forward is not a big secret. It's not being smarter, and I keep telling y'all that all the time. I'm not smarter than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. My life, you can look at my high school grades, I promise you, you were a lot smarter than I was and probably still are. It's got nothing to do with that. Here's the one thing I do well. I crucify my flesh. This morning when I got up, I didn't want to get up. I was tired. I'd spent all week with my kids. We've been camping. It's spring break. Of all the weeks, I should have just took off and just said, you know what? I need to spend quality time, and I'd had one more day with my kids. But it was Sunday. And all of a sudden, my flesh, when I woke up, just said, hit the snooze. One more time. Hit the snooze. My spirit was kept crying, it's Sunday, Tim. Something good's going to happen. It's Sunday, Tim. I get to flow through you. You get to open your mouth, and I get to speak. And I got somebody that I need to hear what I got to say. Because somebody came this morning, Tim, thirsty. Somebody came this morning hungry. Somebody came this morning not able to figure out why they can't live good enough or why they don't seem to be able to do good enough. And they miss it, Tim, and they need to hear this morning that it's not them doing good enough. It's them receiving me and then letting me live through them. I'm the good. I'm the one that does the good. They just simply have to receive me. They simply have to listen to me and let me live through their life. If they do that, I can do with their life what they cannot do themselves. I can pick the right person for them to marry. I can find the right job. I can find everything that they need. I know them better than they know themselves. This morning, that's the question. Biggest question in this room, and the question that has to be answered, are you thirsty? Or are you somebody that when you open your mouth, rivers flow out? When you do good or see a need, do rivers flow out? This morning, is it about what I need next? Or is it about God living through me? Will you stand? With every head bowed, every eye closed. As we just play some music softly, I want to ask you that question. You answered honestly this morning. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Did you walk in this morning satisfied? Or are there places still in my life that I don't let God live through me? Don't get me wrong, Brother Lot. I'm not trying to do bad. I try to do good. I'm trying to live good. That's not the question. Jesus didn't ask that question. He asked, are you thirsty? Do you still have a longing in your heart that feels like not filled? Then he gave you an answer. He said, all of you who are thirsty, come unto me. Come unto me. And I will fill you with water. Not water just for you, not water just so you can drink and be happy yourself, but water that will pour out of you. And you'll find your greatest happiness when I live through you and I touch lives through you. You'll find the life you've always looked for. If you're in this room right now and you say, Pastor, I'm thirsty.